Hi again, Steve Elzinger here. This is the coaching class. If you made it this far, congratulations. You're almost going down the stretch here. Keep at it. I hope you've been practicing some of the things that you're learning. Without practice, there's no way that you can become a coach. You can practice on any relationship, any encounter with anyone. You can practice listening. You can practice asking good questions that help people think about their life. It's just a good way of communicating all around. I want to talk about, in this session, the place of the Bible in coaching. You remember, you're not just a coach. You're a Christian coach. There's a lot of coaching out in our cultures these days, and a lot of it is not Christian at all. It has more of a New Age kind of feel to it. It's all about the truth, you know, inside of you. It's sort of this Buddhist view that God is everywhere and we're all part of the collective God, and all we have to do is search deep within to find out, you know, the truth that is somehow within us. And it can sound very Christian, but it's not. And so how do we act as Christian coaches? So I want to talk about the Bible and Christian coaching. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you. Okay? Equip you with everything good for doing his will. So God, it's not some truth that's somehow as a human being because you're a collective universe something and you just have to discuss. No, it's God in you. Okay, God is the one that's equipping your client to be able to figure things out. So we start with the premise of God, not, you know, some generic, you know, world. We're all part of some collective thing. Equip you with everything good for doing his will, for doing things, for making things happen, for coming up with goals and plans. And then as a coach, I'm going to help you follow through with those goals and those plans. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Okay, you know, the goals that the client comes up with are not just goals. They're goals about how to please God. They're kingdom goals. They're not just selfish, build your own kingdom kind of goals. Work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So as a coach, I have to keep reiterating that the goal here is to follow God. It's not to build our own kingdom. My goal is not to coach you to become some successful person, but to become a successful follower of Jesus Christ. A successful person using the gifts that God has given for his kingdom. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. To communicate, get like this verse, for example, to communicate to your client that he has some value, that trying to figure out what he should do is a cosmic thing. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. These words of Jeremiah were first given to a people that had been obliterated. Jerusalem, the walls have been destroyed, the temple destroyed. The people were brought to Babylon. Everything that the Israelites believed in, the God that was going to make things happen, it was all gone. And so this promise comes in a bleak time when people couldn't see any good thing happen. And so your client has come to you, a coach. Your client, generally clients are somewhat frustrated with their lives. They haven't been able to do the things that they thought they could do. They haven't been able to focus. They haven't been able to accomplish things. Their life is perhaps upside down. Their walls have been destroyed. They've been taken captive by one thing or another. And they need to hear that God has a plan for them, that there is a plan. And it's a plan to prosper and not to harm, to give hope and a future. Psalm 119:105, your word, Lord, is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. Communicate to your client that the word of God is the chief source of trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. It's not just a matter of thinking about areas of your life. It's reading the Bible and trying to figure out what does the Bible have to say and what in the Bible applies to my life of what I should do. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. So your client is trying to figure out goals and plans, and you're trying to hold your client accountable. But how do these goals and how do these plans, how are these things submitted to God? Are they? You might do that in a session. You know, when your client comes up with a goal, what he wants to do this next week, have a prayer. You know, once your client knows what he wants to do, pray about it. Let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this goal, or to show us how to tweak it or to change it. God, this is the goal we have in mind. This is what we're going to try to do this week. If you have something different in mind, let us know. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, I'm talking to the client. How does your goal help you seek God's kingdom first? That's a legitimate question that you as the coach can ask. You're a Christian coach. You're not just asking your client to do whatever he wants to do. See, then it's not Christian counseling or coaching. That's just secular coaching. A secular coach doesn't care what the client wants to do. What do you want to do? You want to learn how to rob a bank? Okay, I'll help you do that. Help you figure that out. No. The goal is to help someone seek God's kingdom first. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Because the client's trying to figure out what he should do. Out of the myriad of things he could possibly do in his life, what things should he focus on? Ask God. Again, in the session, you can just stop and go, let's pray. Before we think about this, or maybe you've been thinking about it and you're bogged down, you don't know what to do, take the time to pray. That's okay to do. You should do that. Let's ask God. You might read this verse and say, well, let's pray that God would do this. Let's pray that God would do what He says He would do. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So you make up a plan, but don't just write the plan down. Commit it to the Lord. Again, stop right in the middle of the session and make a commitment. Questions related to the Word. Okay, so these are questions you might ask your client related to the Word. Number one, what was interesting to you in your reading of God's Word this past week? That's a good question to ask. Remember, we talked about this way in the beginning, that in Christian coaching, one of the prerequisites is that your client actually has a walk with God, which means he's praying every day and he's reading the Bible. Well, is he? A lot of people say they are, but they're not. You want to help coach your client into having a walk with God, because if he doesn't have a walk with God, he's not reading the Bible, he's not praying, then you're asking your client to come up with solutions to problems in and of himself. We're going down the New Age route. If we're going to trust that the client can figure out the answers to his own problems, then we have to be reassured that he's actually walking with God daily. What was interesting to you in your reading of God's Word this past week? A follow-up question. Number two. Why do you think it was interesting to you? So the client reads the story of the prodigal son. You know, the younger son gets his money from his father, the inheritance, and goes off and spends it wildly and loses it all. And then finally he goes, what am I doing? I've lost all my money. I don't have anything back home. The servants have more food to eat than I do. I'll go back and I'll apologize and maybe my father will let me be a hired servant. And he goes back and he has this apology ready to go. But the father sees him at a great distance and runs and hugs him, puts a ring on his finger, accepts him back as a son before the son even said anything. The son didn't have a chance to even apologize. He came with the idea, I'll apologize and maybe I'll get something. But he comes back and he gets more than he ever thought he would get. He gets the sonship back again. And he didn't even open his mouth. So he apologizes, but he doesn't say, make me as a hired servant. He rehearsed that, but he doesn't say that part because he's been made a son already. And he apologizes now not to get anything because he's already got it. He apologizes because he's just sorry. He sees how much his father loved him, and he sees how much he must have hurt his father. Okay, so it's a great story. So someone reads this story, and maybe, you know, it was the, you know, there's a lot of parts you might relate to. So you ask, so you read that thing, what do you think was interesting to you? Well, I thought it was interesting that you know, that he came to himself when he was feeding the pigs. Okay. And for whatever reason, sometimes people have no idea why something strikes them. So then there's a follow-up question. What might God be saying to you in this? You know, maybe something caught your attention, and maybe there's a reason why it caught your attention, and you're not even aware of it. You ask a person that, and they go, well, why did I? I mean, there's a lot of good things in this story of the prodigal son. Why would the whole feeding the pig thing be the one thing that struck you? Well, the client has to think about it. Maybe that's how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling like I'm doing things I don't really want to do. At work, I'm being asked to do things that are not part of what I believe in. You know, because in the prodigal story, pigs were unclean animal to a Jew, and so here he is working in the unclean world. He couldn't even go to the temple if he wanted to because he was unclean, and he had to go through a whole process to become clean. This is a fascinating set of questions. In fact, you can do Bible studies this way. You don't have to write up a whole Bible study. You can have people read a passage, a group of 5, 6, 7, 8 people, have them read the passage, and then simply ask, number one, what was interesting to you in your reading? Why do you think it was interesting to you? So you have them. What struck you in this passage? What stood out to you for any reason whatsoever? And one person picks this, another person picks that, another person picks something else, and then you ask, well, why do you think you picked that? And then they say, well, the one word struck me. Okay? So people will explain that. But then you've got to take it deeper. Okay, and question three. People won't go to question three naturally. You have to ask it. What might God be saying to you in this thing that caught your attention? And now the real thinking starts. And people will be amazed at what they come up with. And you will be amazed too. So you can use this in Bible studies. You can try it out today in your family. In your daily devotions today in your family, just sit down and ask these three questions. Hey, what struck each one of you? What struck you? What struck you? What struck you? What's true? Why do you think it struck you? And finally, what is God perhaps trying to say to you in this thing that struck you? Try it. I think you'll be amazed to see how well it works. But you can use it in coaching too. You're assuming that your client is daily into the Word of God. Use that. God, you know, it's a daily walk with God. It's not just Bible study. A lot of times we think of the Bible as this thing we study. We extract truth out of the Bible. No, the Bible is not just a fact book. It's a relationship book. You're actually communicating to God. God is actually speaking to you in that story. And maybe it's a story that you already know. But why is God saying, telling you that story today? How does that story relate to your situation right now today? See, Bible reading can be a relationship, not just, you know, knowledge. All right. Here we go. Word related to clients focused. Okay, so the Word of God as it relates to the client's focus. Number one, what scripture do you think applies to the area of action you are wanting coaching on? Okay, so that you're, remember as a coach, you're trying to help your client come up with a goal, an action plan. And when he does, you could ask this question. In fact, you should. What scripture do you think applies to the area of action you are wanting coaching on? So your coach, your client has an idea that they want to get more into ministry, and their goal is to take some classes, and you've worked out this whole plan. Well, then challenge your client. Okay, so what verse applies to this? Help your client center everything that he's trying to do, whether it's a change, whether it's going to the next level, or whatever goals he has in mind. How do these things relate to the Word of God? Always bring it back to the Word of God. Because ultimately, it's not about just what the client wants. It's what God wants through the client. And so doing this helps your client center everything that you're working on together on God and God's Word. Number two, what scripture applies to your plan of action? So what scripture applies to your goal? What scripture applies to your old plan about becoming a better father, a better marriage? What scriptures relate to marriage that can help you in your plan? Favorite verse questions. I love asking this. What's your favorite verse and why? I had a retreat with a bunch of young men a few months back, and this is all we did. I asked that each one figure out what their favorite verse is and why, and then get up and give us a 5-minute sermon on that. And the sermon was just that. You know, here's my favorite verse, and here's why it's my favorite verse. So they had to figure out some story. There was something that happened in their life that made this verse powerful. There was something behind it. And then number two, how does this verse apply to any change you want to make in your life? So this is, you know, one of those models that we talked about earlier, a way to help your client think about his or her life in terms of what they want to change, where they want to go to the next level. What's your favorite verse and why? My favorite verse is Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It was a verse that an elder gave to me when I first got ordained as a minister in 1982. It's a great verse. It's good to know that the Lord goes before you. You know, you're a new pastor and there's a lot of challenges. Well, after 4 years, I went off to plant a church in Vancouver, British Columbia. And our church grew significantly, so that 3 years later, we decided to daughter a church. And we got a guy, associate guy, to do that daughter church. And so he needed to get ordained, and I had to give him a verse, and I gave him that verse. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you, will never leave you or forsake you. 2 years later, we daughtered another church. Another guy, need to get ordained. I gave him the same verse, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. Then I moved to Michigan and I restarted another church. And we got an associate pastor. He got ordained and I had to give him a verse. I gave him that same verse. So I kept giving this verse, Deuteronomy 30. I received it and I kept giving it. And the verse was becoming more and more meaningful to me, not only through my own ministry, but in my connection to these associate pastors that I had an influence on, that I was mentoring. And so that verse it stood for not just for me, it was stood for my connection to all these other people. And finally, I met with the elder who had given me the verse many years before. He was dying of cancer. And it was the last time that I would see him on this side of heaven. And we talked and we laughed. And before we left, and you know, this was my goodbye, at least on this side of heaven. And I stood up and I said, before I go, I want to give you something. And I opened my Bible to Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. I said, 25 years ago, you gave me this verse. And this is where this verse has gone. And today, I want to give you this verse back. Because the Lord Himself goes before you. And He will be with you, and He will never leave you or forsake you. Even though you have cancer, and even though you're dying, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Okay. So that's my story behind my favorite verse. You see, there's all kinds of emotion there. And now what do I want to do? How do I want to use this? How am I going to give this to you? How am I going to use this in what I want to do with my life? See, it's already got a hold of my life. And so you have a powerful motivator in this favorite verse, and you know, it's to the core of someone's being. It's something that God enabled them to overcome or do in their life already. And so to tap into that is going to be very powerful. So what is your favorite verse and why? How does this verse apply to any change you want to make in your life? How does this verse apply to any area of life where you want to go to the next level? Okay, so just to summarize, any time that you can use the Word of God in coaching, do so. You want to center everything that you do in the Word of God. You want to center all the goals that are come up with, all the plans. You want them centered in the Word of God. You want a verse attached to all these things. And then as you manage this process too, you're always bringing up that verse. Let a verse become the theme of what this person wants to do. Because what happens when the client succeeds in this coaching relationship, instead of just thanking you and saying all praise and glory to you, the coach, they give praise and honor and glory to God. God is in the driver's seat. God is the one that is ultimately making these things happen. And that's what you want the client to figure out and understand. Because when he helps other people, he will give the glory to God as well. Okay, we'll see you again next time.